Amen. We have been going through the Psalms. We do not expect to preach from all the Psalms, but we are preaching a year and a quarter through the Psalms. The Psalms are made up of five books. It's divided into five books. We are now moving toward the end of the third of those five books, and we are at 84, Psalm 84. Spurgeon calls this the pearl of the Psalms. He also said that about Psalm 23, but it is certainly a very special psalm. Those of you who were here when we considered Psalm 81, we considered it as a postcard to the edge, God sending out a postcard to say, come home. I have suggested that you could think about Psalm 77, thinking about the murder of a highway patrolman on Interstate 77, that Psalm 77 is about trouble. Psalm 81, thinking about Interstate 81, going through the mountains there. If you live there, you could think about country roads, lead me home. 81 is saying, come home to the Lord. Now, 84 is our heart saying, we love to worship Jesus. We love him. We long to be with God's people. And considering the year and a half or so that we've been through, I think we can understand this a little bit better than we could have 2 or 3 years ago. At least I can, because it is a joy to be with God's people. Dave and I remember those first few Sundays when it was Robert and Dave, Robert and me in the sanctuary. And that was it. That was the worship service. Everything else had to do with electronics or something out there. But we can gather. We long to be with the Lord in worship and with his people. Let's stand. I'll read Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I'm reading from God's holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. This is God's word. Listen to it. Psalm 84. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping, passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would apply these words, this inspired scripture, to our hearts, that the same Holy Spirit who had it inspired and had it written down and kept it pure and entire all through these ages and put into our own heart language of English, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would apply the same truths, transformative truths, and comforting truths to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The Christian life. This is a picture of the Christian life. There are, as Psalm 1 says, two ways in all of Scripture. Moses put a point on it. There, right at the end of his life, at the end of Deuteronomy, his swan song on the plains of Moab before he died and everybody else, the younger generation, got to go on into the land. He said this, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity." And then he said, that was Deuteronomy 30:15, and then he said, in verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you." That's the way a covenant is made. He's reestablishing the covenant with the people of God before they go in. "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse." And then he gives his advice, which you can guess what it would be. He says, "So choose life." That's the way it is in all of Scripture. That's the way it is in Psalm 1. That's the way it is in Psalm 84. Make the right choice. It will be comforting, eternally comforting. It will also be challenging. It's hard to live for Jesus in a fallen world. It's hard to live for Jesus with a fallen nature, your own heart that's just being changed little by little to be more like Jesus. It will be filled with four choice blessings presented here in Psalm 84. Look at verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Sun. The word there is shemesh, and I don't know easy way to tie that in with English, except that there is a town west of Jerusalem called Beth Shemesh, or called these days Beit Shemesh, the house of the sun. But the Lord is a sun for us. You know, he shines on our pathway. He's a shield. That word is Mogen, or Magen. Magen David, you might have heard that term. It's the shield of David is what it means. And grace, we've talked about this recently. This is that chen word that goes across so many languages. If you know somebody named John or Jack or Jean or Jeanette or Ian or Jan or Jan or Anna or Hannah or Grace, it's the word for grace. God, the Lord God, is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace. All those names, when you look at all those names around the world, you see where the gospel has gone. It's in Chinese. It's in other languages that I can't figure out. But it's all around the world, just as Juan is, or Ivan. Grace. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and then glory. Glory is kavod. You may know Ichabod Crane. You may know where that came from in the life of Samuel. It's in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 4, and it's when the people of God had deserted God to the extent that the glory of God left the tabernacle, left and went away. And so when Eli's daughter-in-law was dying, she named her baby Ichabod, which means no glory. The glory has departed. But the Lord, if you've chosen Jesus, then the Lord is your sun from above, shining on your path. He's your shield all around, 360. He's the shield, not just like the Roman shield in front, but he protects you all around. He gives grace, which is what you need as a sinner, and he gives you glory. He takes you on to glory. As a matter of fact, I've I have a way of thinking about this, and you could try this at home. Well, not if you have a broken leg or something like that, but you could try it at home. It's a 1-2-1-2-1-2-3-4. 1-2-1-2-1-2-3-4. And you can memorize verse 11 this way. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. And that's the 3-4 part. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Those are four wonderful blessings as you walk along your way, where you find grace, where you find the sun to shine on your path, where you find a path that leads you to glory, and where you find protection, where nothing can get to you that has not come through nail-scarred hands. The sun is like a number six blessing, where his face rises upon you and gives you peace. His shield protects you on every step. So have a blessed, joyful hike as you go through this world and headed for glory, with glory in your heart. He is with you all the way. You abide in him as you walk. You remain in him. Abide, remain, same word. You remain in him as you move. Emmanuel is your sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory at every stage of life. Nothing good by his calculation and care does he withhold from you on your way. Psalm 1 is the gateway psalm, and I've already read it, but I'll read the last verse of it again. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. It's a path in Scripture. It's why there's an echo in us when we read about the Hobbit going on a trip, when we read Pilgrim's Progress. Of course, that's so directly based on Scripture. When you read about a trip written by Tolkien, we know deep down inside that we're going somewhere. Now, people can tell you the world goes around and around and doesn't go anywhere and just all sorts of strange ideas, but you're going either to heaven or to hell, and you're headed there, and you know it deep down inside. Let's begin with the second portion of Psalm 84, beginning in verse 5. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in the Lord, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. In whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. So you got blessing, how blessed in verse 5. You have blessings in verse 6. They go, as you're on this hike, as you're on this trip to glory, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Zion, in the Old Testament, was a matter of going to Jerusalem and worshiping at the temple. For us, and even for them, it's a matter of going to heaven. It's where God dwells. The Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. It's a hike. It's an adventure. The journey needs to be covered up in prayer. The Beatitudes, the blessings from the Sermon on the Mount, are in operation. The Sermon on the Mount is alive. Can you not see that in believers' lives? Covered over with blessing. They pass through the valley of Baca, valley of weeping, of deprivation, of difficulty. There are different ways to understand that, but it's bad. You pass through the valley of Baca. But you pass through the valley of Baca. Psalm 84 says the same thing Psalm 23 does. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because of Emmanuel. Because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There are problems out there. The valley of Baca we go through in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's a path. It's a walk. It's a hike. All the days of my life, and you get to the end of your life, having gone through the valley of Baca, having gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I have witnessed that in the last weeks and months among believers moving toward death. In the last year, believers knowing that this is where they were going. Being able to talk about it. On the way, being prepared, and maybe suffering, maybe needing that medication. Great difficulty. I'm not saying dying is fun. I'm saying death is release. I'm saying it is the other end of the Valley of Baca. It's the other end of the Valley of the Shadow of Death. As a believer passes through the valley of Baca by the Lord's sunshine above, his shield all around him, his presence within, it can be a terrible trial, but he is in the process, she is in the process of being transformed. It's not dry. You will not die of thirst. There is water that he supplies in the desert. There is water that is from the rock. The rock was struck. The rock was Christ. The rock poured out water. Blessings will come down, the early rains and the latter rains. What is this way, this way through the valley of Baca? Well, it's Jesus, right? He is the way. We've already considered that, John 14, 6. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. These believers, you, are going somewhere. My daddy turned 84 years old in 1994. Mom and daddy moved in with us here at Filbert in 1996. Well, Daddy was getting weaker. At his 84th birthday, I recognized, and I don't know whether it's just where I was in reading in my devotions or what it was at that point, but I recognized Daddy in Psalm 84 when he was 84. And so we began a tradition in our home. And if you want me to be in charge of your birthday party, this is going to be part of it. That if you're 14, we're going to read the 14th Psalm. If you're 100, we're going to read the 100th Psalm. And if you're 1, we're going to read the first Psalm. And that started when Daddy was 84. And we read the 84th Psalm. And I realized that I could see before my very eyes that he was moving to the place where he had to use a magnifying glass to read Matthew Henry. But he had almost finished those 10 volumes, those 10 little volumes in fairly small print of Spurgeon's sermons. And he read through the Bible every year. And I knew when he was growing up, I didn't bother him. He didn't speak the gospel over and over again, not with his mouth. But he lived it all the time. His testimony, basically, when I was growing up, was a matter of if I got up early enough and went downstairs, he would be reading the Bible and he'd read it out loud instead of silently. And then he'd kneel beside the chair, same chair we have in the living room, and he would pray out loud instead of silently. And we couldn't bother him for 45 minutes before he went to bed because he was kneeling by his bed praying. But he didn't explain any of that. But he lived that. And I realized that as he got weaker, he was getting stronger. As he was, and he had some years to go, But as he moved toward Zion, he was going from strength to strength. And many of y'all know that he finally did give us boys, three boys. I have twin brothers. I don't know anything about their baptism. I was 2 and a half. But he finally did tell us where he was when he gave his life to the Lord. And he was 85 years old when he did that. But I could see that. And I hope that's the way you'll be when you are dying. And I hope that's the way it is right now, that in your heart you are longing for the Lord. 81 was the Lord's longing for our presence when we turned away. 84 is our longing for, our loving to be in the Lord's presence. Verses 1 through 4, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed, even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart, that's my question today for you. Where is your heart? My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird has found a house, it's also translated sparrow, has found a house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Where is your heart? Jesus said, the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He says in the Sermon on the Mount, where are your treasures? Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart? Why are churchgoer statistics the same as non-churchgoer statistics almost? Isn't the way we live our lives? Isn't it because we are seeking the same things? We want the same advantages, the same schedules. We basically have the same priorities. Isn't that part of our problem? Treasures on earth are many and varied and beautiful and enjoyable. They don't have to be evil, but they will all, every one of them, burn up. And if you leave earth before the last day, you won't take anything earthbound with you. Your soul is not earthbound, and your soul has no need of pockets. Set a great value on things you cannot see, taught to you in Scripture. Set little value on things you can see, except for your fellow travelers. As you know, C.S. Lewis pointed out, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, you know, great pictures, they're all mortal. They all die. They all burn up. Their life is like the life of a gnat. But C.S. Lewis says, but it is immortals that we joke with, that we work with, that we may snub, and that we may exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. So just remember that, don't discount your fellow travelers. Every one of them is made in the image of God, and they are headed somewhere as you are. The Bible says more forcefully that every single human is created in the image of God, but what else is going to make that cut? What is worth your abiding time and energy? Well, where you should abide is in the vine, resting, soaking up your time and relationship with Jesus. Don't lose heart, rather stay connected with God. Don't cut yourself off from the water of life. Wouldn't that be silly? Don't cut yourself off from the bread of life. Don't stray out of his way. Don't walk out of the door of his fold, running away like a runaway sheep. There's a song that the I've been asked to sing to the grandchildren over Zoom. Some of the grandchildren are studying the great I Ams of Scripture. And where Jesus said in John 10, I am the door, the song goes, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two, outside and inside, on which side are you? Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life, Jesus is the door, Jesus is the shepherd, Jesus is the vine, life is in the vine, shriveling up, slow but sure death is being cut off from the vine. Abide, remain, stay connected with Jesus. Abide in Jesus as you walk in the way. Is that a mixed metaphor that bothers you? I hope it won't. That's the way the Bible puts it, essentially. Abide in the Lord as you walk. What would you rather do? What would you rather be? There are proverbs, there are choices. Reasonable life and death, Moses-like choices. Would you rather be in Jesus, or would you rather be without him at the last day? Make that choice. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Ruth's grandfather on her mother's side was named Ed Averett, with an A. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Her grandfather's son was named Ed Averett Jr. And Ed Averett Jr. Was a believer. He's gone to be with the Lord fairly recently. Had a great influence on our lives, as his father and mother did. But toward the end of his life, he began to shed some of his... He was sort of a man's man. He was tough. He was tough as nails. And in his 90s, he still climbed up on the roof of his house, and it was amazing who he was. But Psalm 84 applied to him too. And he became more and more spiritually strong as he moved toward death. And in his latter years, as he lived in the Tennessee hills, and went to church in Hickson, Tennessee, if you ask him how he was doing, he would say, I'm doing 2 Corinthians 4:16. And he said some preachers had to look it up. Wherefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And there are good verses that follow that. I'll read it the way he put it to us in an email and sent it to many others. We do not lose heart, for we know that this earthly man and its desires and aches and pains, moans and groans, are wasting away, parenthesis, turning back to dust, which mine is more each day. Our spiritual man, parenthesis, the one born of Jesus Christ, who is all peace, joy, love, and grace, and lives in this old man's body, is being renewed day by day, parenthesis, through prayer and study of the basic instructions before leaving earth, to the glory of my sovereign God and my resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you don't know what basic instructions before leaving earth is, do y'all know what that is? You do. Then make an acronym of it, Bible. So I just send you off with that encouragement. From Moses, so choose life. From my daddy, just rest in Jesus. From Ed Averett Jr., dig into the basic instructions before leaving earth and put your life in the Lord's hand. And what you find at the end of Psalm 84, it really sums it up. It's trust. All the parts of the Valley of Baca coming at you, and you say, surely the Lord didn't mean to send this to me. Surely not this. Surely not. This is... Yeah. No good thing, according to his plan, no good thing, not according to your plan, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Put your trust in the one who leads you down the path and have heaven, Zion, in your heart as